Welcome everyone to CBCG, Christian Biblical Church of God's online Friday night fellowship meeting that we have every Friday. And we have another one every other week. We call it GoToMeeting 2 on the Sabbath, Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. But welcome to tonight, and we look forward to having everyone here. And we've got people all over the world that have come in, and it truly is an international meeting tonight. So we enjoy your company and the opportunity to get to know everyone as family and fellowship here tonight. For the first part, we always have a message given to us by an elder in Christian Biblical Church of God. Tonight, we're going to hear from Norbert Bonnert, who is in Canada. And Norbert's title is, What Do You Stand For? So I'd like to introduce Norbert Bonnert.
Thank you, Steve. Greetings, everyone. Happy Sabbath to you all. We're not quite into the Sabbath here yet in Western Canada, but hope everyone's doing well. I'd like to say a special welcome to the new people on tonight, especially Ranjani and Miguel. I'm not sure if he's new or not, but welcome, and I hope you enjoy this message. I had a little bit of an issue of what I should be speaking about. It's getting close to the Feast of Tabernacles and the Feast of Trumpets coming up. And then I thought, with everything going on, there's probably one message that I'd like to bring this evening. And that's probably a good precursor to what we're going to be celebrating as far as the Feast of Trumpets, the Return of Christ, and as well with the Feast of Tabernacles. We are in exceedingly difficult and tumultuous times, brethren, as we all know. This year has probably been a very unique year in the fact that things started out well in January, and all of a sudden we were hit with this crisis that hit us on a global basis. We almost see every institution around us in this society falling apart. And the credibility of our governments, of course, is in shambles. This is before even COVID began, but it's in shambles. Our economy and our unemployment rates, especially due to this latest COVID outbreak, if we want to call that an outbreak, it has turned the world totally upside down. And our education system is totally gone to pot. Maybe even literally in some cases. There is little respect or no respect for the Constitution of the United States, for even us that are not in the United States of America. We can see that the Constitution of the USA has been decimated, and all our leaders basically are lying to us. Slowly, but surely our national blessing is eroding away before our very own eyes. There's no justice in the courts. God has been taken out of the picture in many cases entirely. And even in the churches of God, the doctrine as proclaimed by Jesus Christ has been watered down, subverting justice for the brethren. Just to see where we're at, brethren, let's turn to Isaiah 59, verse 14. Isaiah 59, verse 14. And justice is driven backward, and righteousness stands afar off, for truth has fallen in the street, and uprightness cannot enter. That's the state that we basically are finding ourselves in. Let's turn to Hosea 4, verse 1. Hosea 4, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, children of Israel, speaking to the children of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Can we relate, brethren, what is happening around us? I don't mean this to be a negative message, but reality, brethren, that we're facing reality. What about some of the other institutions that once made America great, like marriage, the family. The list can go on and on, but which of these is trending better and which is getting worse by day by day? Without God, and we all know this, without God in the picture, we are going to be going down faster than most people in this outside world realize. Sadly, in many cases, even the Church of God is not far behind some of the evil of this world. I hate to say that, but that's the case. Jesus told us that it would be like the days of Noah when he returned. What did he mean by that? What did he mean by that? Let's turn to Genesis 6, verse 5. Genesis 6, verse 5. And the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's the world that we presently live in. What about faith? What about morals? What about religion? In America today, even these stalwarts of society do not rank as highly as they once did. God and all he stands for is being systematically removed from the law, the Congress, the courts, and unfortunately, our schools. Even the previous leader of the USA opted for Muslim Brotherhood while canceling National Day of Prayer to give thanks for the great country that we live in, for the blessings that we have received. It is so sad that America has fallen so far behind in the manufacturing, being able to utilize our own technology that we could not even think about winning another war if that became the case. God is breaking our strength, brethren. Now here is the question, and this is the source of the title that strikes close to home. What do you and what do I actually stand for? What, if anything, would we die for? Now we can speak that collectively, as a group, as a church family, or more importantly, we can speak to that on a personal basis. If we do not stand for anything, could that indicate the serious problem of standing for nothing? It's a simple question. If we do not stand for anything, could that indicate the serious problem of standing for nothing? God prophesied of America and Israelite nations in these last days, and we know that. The Holy One of Israel, Jesus Christ himself, singles out the sins of the national leaders, the Justice Department, the religious and church leaders, and all the way down to the men and women sitting in the congregations. Let's turn to Isaiah 1, verse 1. Isaiah 1, verse 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have reared and brought up children, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his owner, but the donkey his master's crib. But Israel does not know me. My people do not understand. Nation of Israel does not understand or know God. Modern Israel has forgotten the Almighty Creator God. Verse 4. a sinful nation, a people burdened with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children who deal corruptly. They have forsaken the Lord, that they have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger. They have gone away backward. Why should you be stricken any more? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. The whole head is sick from the top down. The governments, the supreme courts, the common man on the street. They are all morally sick and sinful men. That's the world that we are in presently. And it is only going to get worse, brother. God has been rejected, and anything godly is being totally rejected as well. There is crooks, perverse in their thinking, and every action demonstrates the weaknesses in our society today. There is no soundness or principles whatsoever in them. Verse 6. From the sole of the foot, even to the top of the head, there is no soundness in it. Only wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, nor bound up, nor soothed with ointment. Men fail to take a stand when they lack faith. Jesus asked the question, Luke 18, verse 8. Let's turn there. Luke 18, verse 8. Luke 18, verse 8. I tell you that he will execute vengeance for them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find true faith on the earth? That is the question that Christ is asking. Will he find true faith when he comes on this earth? And the strange thing is that he does not answer the question for us. That is because it is up to us individually as to whether there will be any faith on the earth when Jesus Christ returns. But we continue in Isaiah. God does describe where we are headed, even if we continue the course that we are on. Let's turn back to Isaiah 1, verse 7. Isaiah 1, verse 7. Your country is desolation. Your cities are burned with fire. Strangers devour your land right in your very presence, and it is wasted as overthrown by strangers. Does that sound familiar? Since according to this scripture, it does not look like attempts to secure our borders will be successful. Perhaps it is time for us to stand for something, brethren, and most importantly for us, each one of us, the called out ones of God, asking ourselves, what do each one of us stand for? Who among us are willing to bear ridicule and reproach that comes when a person stands for the truth's sake? All questions that we must ask ourselves. We are facing a world that this is becoming a question that will be much more prevalent and should be much more prevalent in our minds. We have heard the adage, for evil to flourish, it only requires good men to do nothing. For evil to flourish, it only requires good men to do nothing. When we fail to take a stand for God's word, God's way, we hamper the progress of the plan of God. And that is a sad, sad state of affairs. Not only that, we, brethren, each one of us can jeopardize our own salvation. Some may say, you take too much upon yourself. God does not expect such stellar performance from us. Well, brethren, contrary to that, I think he does. He does want us to actually assess and see what we stand for. The question, what do we stand for, is one of the most important questions a man can ask of himself. The vast majority of people just go along with the status quo, and we see that all the time. Even in the society, people do not question if there is some doubt. They just go along with the status quo. Standing for something that is sound, means that we have a legitimate purpose in life. It suggests that you believe in God's plan, as we all should, and you believe in yourself and the goals that you have set aside personally to accomplish what God has called us to do. That is the basis of what we should be standing for. A man who is aware of his worth will refuse to take no for an answer and defend his honor, even in the face of hostile criticism from the opponents. The weak are too afraid to stand up for anything because they are afraid to voice their opinions in the face of resentment, or worse yet, hostility or rejection from others. Where are we, brethren? Where are we as things come up, occur around us? Taking COVID for an example, where are we? Do we have a solid base and soundness knowing where we stand and what we actually stand for? The smug will call you a troublemaker, and the timid among us will believe them, saying that you are a troublemaker. Being true and true to God's principles and being genuine in keeping his law is imperative in all our lives and really a requirement for us to attain eternal life. Brethren, so I challenge you this evening, or this morning down under, I challenge myself with the same question. What do I stand for? Does Jesus ever expect us to compromise his principles for the sake of expediency? A man who won't die for something is not fit to live. That was said over 50 years ago by Martin Luther King, Jr. It is important to be a straight shooter and talk by making a point. There are so-called church leaders who steadfastly, to this day, refuse to stand up against the heresy of the Trinity and the nature of God. There are also so-called church leaders who are systematically, very sneakily, watering down doctrine and replacing it with a fun and happy gospel message, as they so call it. Brethren, we are, each one of us is called to take a stand each and every time there is a choice to be made between doing what is right or supporting what is wrong. We have been given that free moral agency totally to make that choice. Despite our fears, our insecurities, or the possibility of public scorn, or following the crowd into the lukewarm waters of moral mediocrity and self-defeatism, we are obligated by God to take a stand. Every time we do not take a stand, it is a decision. Every decision we make sets the course for the rest of our lives, either for good or for bad. Either we build upon or create a right foundation strong enough to build a life on, or not. It's all up to us. It's all up to us, brethren. So again, I ask, what do I stand for? What do you stand for? Brethren, I think many of us have probably witnessed a very faithful fellow brother or sister in Christ in all our church experiences who had been suspended by a minister in many of our past journeys, church-wise. The brother or sister of Christ was treated unjustly and improperly. Unfortunately, earlier, this happened way too often, brethren. The brethren were unjustly harmed, and they had no recourse on earth because of the political nature and corporate organization and the internal corruptness that came from the top down. That's not what God wants. It was too common that the leadership did not care for the harmless victims of the atrocities that were going on. And that was within the Church of God, brethren. Ministers have attempted to stand for godliness only to find themselves on the outside as well. And I'm sure that many of us can relate to situations like that. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 11:19. 1 Corinthians 11:19. For it is necessary that heresies be among you. So we're told, for it is necessary that heresies be among you, so that the ones who are proved may become manifest among you. God says that if you wish to be approved of by Him, you had better decide which side of heresy to take a stand on. God is sorting out who will stand for the right and the truth, and who are the modern day Pharisees supporting headquarters, leadership, because that is where their bread is buttered. That is where their friends are. That is where they are known and are comfortable. Not rocking the boat and not standing up for God's way and God's word. Which part of come out from among them and separate yourselves from them is ambiguous? Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 6:17. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Clear instruction. Therefore come out from the midst of them and be separate. Separate yourselves, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean, and I will receive you. So that's what we are instructed to do, brethren. God says, I will receive you if you separate yourselves. Not if you just say and you wish it were different, whether it was referring to headquarters, leadership, or doctrines at certain times. Brethren, there has been a great sin in the church, and that is this. Church policy too many times dictated that the corporate structure or organization must be protected above everything else. Totally, totally contrary to God's way. Totally, totally wrong. To the ruin and the demise of faithful brethren. People must be accountable. Each one of us must be accountable on our own and be ourselves, our own individuals, and not be led astray by authority and leadership. Our only authority and leadership comes from God the Father and Jesus Christ. And that is brought about by the power of the Holy Spirit working within us each. It means absolutely nothing. And we must answer for our own thinking and actions at all times. We are accountable, brethren, each one of us, bringing us back to the question, what do we stand for? We teach people to look to God directly, building our relationship directly, one-on-one with God, not through any man or organization. And we must stay focused on that, brethren. It's plain. It's very simple. We must remember that our relationship with God is one-on-one, personal, one-on-one. God does not support political, corporate organizations, no matter what. Whether or not they are right or wrong, God does not operate or work that way. Let's turn to James 4, verse 17. James 4, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is a sin. That is so basic and so simple. It's the basic sound biblical principle of God. Romans 12, verse 21. Romans 12, verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Very simple again. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Very simple. Very simple. When, brethren, were these clear biblical principles replaced with a headquarters or a leadership devotion? When? Brethren, at our baptism, we counted the cost, each one of us, or we should have. We were told that the time would come when we, each one of us personally, could be persecuted and reviled. Well, brethren, sorry to say this, but that time is coming. That time is beginning to arrive. It is starting and starting to come to the forefront. Jesus was persecuted. We know that. The prophets of old were persecuted. Everyone who takes a stand will be persecuted for righteousness' sake. It is the only way to the kingdom of God. Let's turn to Matthew 5. Matthew 5, beginning verse 10. Blessed are those who have been persecuted. It says, blessed are those that have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 11. Blessed are you when they shall reproach you and shall persecute you, and shall falsely say every wicked thing against you for my sake. Clearly outlined here. Verse 12, rejoice and be filled with joy, for great is your reward in heaven. For in this same manner they persecuted the prophets who were before you. God says, do not equivocate. Luke 16, verse 13. No servant is able to serve two masters. No servant is able to serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and he will love the other, or he will hold to the one and will despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Very simply put, you cannot serve God or mammon. When, brethren, were these clear biblical principles replaced with a headquarters leadership devotion? God never supports the unjust man over his righteous people. Did he ever think, brethren, that we would be fighting our battles within the churches of God? Did we ever think that that could be possible? We thought that we would be possibly fighting our battles out in the world, but internally, did we think that we would be fighting our battles within the churches of God? Well, we found out, didn't we? And it will continue, brethren. So there again, we have to be strong and ask the question, what do we stand for? Isaiah 66, verse 2. For all these things my hand has made, and these things came to be, says the Lord. But to this one I will look, to him who is of a poor and contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. That is where we have to come to. We have to tremble at God's word. God never supports the politically astute and wielders of power over his faithful children, brethren. We have to remember that. When the people suffer, God does take note. Remember this, God's true people are always in a small minority. Let's confirm that by going to Luke 12, verse 32. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father delights in giving you the kingdom. Refers to a little flock. Doesn't need numbers, brethren. A little flock he refers to. Brethren, we know that we will not be thanked for taking a stand for God's way. But it is necessary. It is necessary for our salvation and our opportunity to be part of the magnificent plan that God has set aside for us. Jesus and his true disciples were never a part of a organized religion of their day. They were persecuted, the outcasts, as was Paul, plagued by those from headquarters in Jerusalem continuously wherever Paul went. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial among you, which is taking place to test you, as if some strange thing were happening to you. Verse 13, but to the degree that you have a share in the sufferings of Christ, rejoice so that as the revelation of his glory, you also may rejoice exceedingly. Brethren, consider this also. God is sorting things out. And we know that. More and more, we will see that any corporation and our group of people not following the principles of Jesus Christ will fall apart and be scattered. We've seen signs of that already occurring. We saw it in the past, and we will continue to see it in the future. Now, brethren, now before it is too late, before time moves on too far, is the time that we should consider and take a stand for what God has before us. To take a stand of what is right in God's eyes. Brethren, if we do not take a stand when God shows us the impropriety of other policies and actions, soon it will come. Soon it will be too late to take a stand. So brethren, when we face situations in the world, and also importantly within the churches of God, that is against God's words and ways, we personally, each one of us, has to take a stand against any such injustice or wrong. We must take action, brethren, and make sure our stand is not only taken by us, but is known and evident by the actions or reaction that we have. We cannot be weak. We as elders, we cannot be weak. Our accountability and salvation can all be on the line. We cannot sit on the fence, as often referred to, but we must defend the Word of God to the fullest. We must defend God's way to the fullest. If we know about a wrong situation or aware of injustice being done, we have that responsibility to take a stand and to take a stand for the truth based strictly on God's word, not our own thoughts, not our own opinions, not anyone else's opinions or influence, but based strictly on God's word. Leviticus 5 verse 1. Leviticus 5 verse 1. And if anyone sins and hears the voice of swearing and is a witness and he has seen or known, if he does not tell it, then he shall bear his iniquity. So brethren, that is the challenge that we have. This also applies to the teachers, the elders, who must make a stand if it is contrary to godly principles. God requires all of us, each one of us, to take a stand against evil. God knows that it is a difficult battle that we all face. We are human. We have human carnal nature. We battle that constantly. God describes our Christian battle that we have of a choice, but we have to stand and fight. If we get knocked down, we stand and fight more. That is the principles that we must keep in our minds in our journey to conversion. Ephesians 6 verse 13. Ephesians 6 verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having worked out all things, to stand. We heard of that last week from Eduardo. We take up the whole armor of God, not part of it, not half of it. Take up the whole armor of God, so that we may be able to resist in the evil days, which we are already experiencing and is only going to get worse, having all worked out all things to stand, to take a stand, brethren. So, brethren, the question we are asking today is, what do we stand for? What do you stand for? And what do I stand for? These following verses tell us that God has been preparing us for the day of battle that we are facing. And these verses that direct us to take a stand, we should clearly understand and read over and over again. Verse 14. Ephesians 6, verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. All based around girding the loins with truth. And wearing the breastplate of righteousness. And having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Besides all these, take up the shield of the faith. Shield of the faith. With which you will have the power to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And there are many, many darts that we face. And it will only get worse, brethren. And put on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, the power of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We as dedicated sons and daughters of Christ must be careful that we do not fall in a trap and get ensnared with having no stand at all as it relates to the way of God and His Word. We read in Isaiah 59 of the Laodicean church, or a condition, the Laodicean condition of the church of God. Let's turn to Isaiah 59, verse 14. Isaiah 59, verse 14. Stand therefore, reading this again, having your loins girded about with truth. It's all very simple, having the loins girded about with truth and wearing the breastplate of righteousness. God will certainly be looking to see who follows His advice to take a stand. It is our choice, brethren. The choice is not made for us. It is our personal choice. It is our test, our personal test, each one of us, individually. We know there is a new world coming. A wonderful world tomorrow, as we will be experiencing and learning about as we come to the feast, the fall feast holy days. A wonderful, wonderful world to yet to come. It will be a world that is vastly different from what we see around us today. It is going to be a world so different from what we see about us today, that we would not even recognize it if it were shown to us, not knowing what God's awesome plan is and the potential each one of us, as the called out children of God, the potential that we each have to be kings and priests in the kingdom of God. Do we really grasp that at times, brethren, or do we take it lightly? Do we really grasp what God's awesome plan is all about and the potential that each one of us has to be able to attain that? The world tomorrow, the millennium, will be one in which man will take a stand for what is right and do what is right. Man will have principles, character, dignity, virtue, honor, and be worthy of respect. They will know right from wrong. And what will they choose? They will choose to do right. Mankind was created by God the Father and Jesus Christ for the purpose of reaching the fantastic potential. It's all about God's plan. Many will have built within himself the godly character, and he will have learned to stand fast, which we must do, stand fast and uphold the traditions which they have been taught. And that is only based, the traditions are not as traditions of men. It's based on the gospel truth, not other foreign or pagan traditions as we see so prevalent today. The Bible contains many stories of men of faith, men who stood up for what is right, men who would take a stand. We find hope and encouragement in those stories, in men like young David, who stood up even when the entire army stood down. David took a stand. David stood alone against the Philistine Goliath. Young David took a stand against the huge uncircumcised Goliath. The fact that Goliath was uncircumcised meant that Goliath had no covenant with the true God. David was assured that God would give him victory over Goliath because Dave was in covenant with God. We like to read of stories as that, and it is encouraging, and that it is good, as we need to hear stories like that from the past. Character, honor, and valor. That's the thing that makes men and women. But where do we find that today, in today's world? Where do we find that? Very few and far between. There is something in our carnal nature that causes us to recognize men that are not as important or as standing up as David did against Goliath. Daniel 6, verse 16. Let's turn there. Daniel 6, verse 16. Daniel 6, verse 16. Tells us the story of Daniel. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. So they threw him into the lion's den. The king spoke and said to Daniel, your God, whom you always serve, will deliver you. He made that statement. The Bible is filled with examples of those who had to courageously stand alone for God's truth in the onslaught of the enemy, which Daniel did. We have been called, brethren, to be kings and priests in the kingdom of God. And we need to believe that God's way of life is easily obtained to be able to stand for it totally. Stand for God's way of life. Stand for the word of God to the end. Are we mature enough, brethren, as Christians, to be able to live and stand for our faith? God is looking for a few good men and women who will stand up right to the end for what is right, what is according to the laws and way of life that God has commanded us to keep. Stand up for what is honest and just. Stand up for what is wholesome and pure. Stand up for the word of God and the truth of God. Don't you know that at the crucifixion, Jesus stood alone? He was there all by himself. Of course, he had God the Father there, but he was all alone. Let's turn to Matthew 26, verse 56. Good principle here, Matthew 26, verse 56. But all this has happened so that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled, that all the disciples forsook him and fled. All the disciples forsook him and fled. Jesus was on the cross there, all alone. Brethren, we know from scripture, a famine of the word of God is coming because the world hates what Jesus stands for. Amos 8 verse 11. Amos 8 verse 11. Amos 8 verse 11. In that day I will rise up the tabernacle of David that has fallen and close up its breaches, and I will raise up its ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. It is a famine of the hearing of the words of the Lord. No more sermons of truth, no more warnings to the wise. That is yet to come. Some in the early days of the church also stood alone. They were the only ones in their area. So brethren, are we facing the same thing? Many of us are scattered. Many of us are so scattered from others that we do not have any brethren really close. Let us be encouraged. Let us be encouraged by these words, that we too may have to stand alone. Many in the past were martyred, thrown to the lions, and burned alive. Who has that kind of character today as some of these individuals in the past have had? Who takes a stand for what is right and what is true? Are we easily swayed, or are we defenders of the faith down to the last man or woman? It is critical for us to learn to sift through the philosophies and actions of those who do not understand the simplicity of Christ. Christ is not complicated. The way of God is not complicated. We must become spiritually grounded, and the word of God leads us to that point. God wants us to stand for his priorities, even if we have to stand alone. The simplicity and humility of Jesus is not attractive to this world today. Mankind without the Spirit of God cannot recognize a humble teacher as Jesus was. Our human nature suggests that bigger and bolder are better or are best. We naturally, but wrongly, seek to associate many times with the powerful and influential people around us. Those who are worldly wise seek to have the biggest organizations. Even if they have to have one foot in the world and one foot sort of in the Word of God. We are warned that it is not godly wisdom that we sit on the fence. There is a right place to take a stand. And there is times there is a wrong place to take a stand as well. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 5. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 5. So that your faith might not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So the faith that we have might not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God, which is the Holy Spirit working within each one of us. God has called us each individually, not as a group, to be part of his body, to be part of his church. We are not able to relinquish our free or moral agency to another agency, brethren. Too many people accept an outside dominion over their lives without hesitation and without question. And some of that's come to light with what's happened here with COVID, without getting into this deeper. And as a result, they are not able to make wise decisions on their own when heresy comes or when trouble comes upon them. And unfortunately, that enters the church. We have been warned, brethren, about putting our trust in any man. We know who we should put our trust in, and that, of course, is God the Father and Jesus Christ. Psalms 40, verse 4. Psalms 40, verse 4. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor those who turn aside to lies. Brethren, our Christian maturity demands that we must develop the character to stand for God's pure truth and not yield to anything else. Easy said, I know. But that's what we're expected, to develop the character to stand for God's pure truth and not yield to anything else. Each Christian must have dominion over their own faith. With a well-informed conscience, we are responsible to God directly. And let us conclude on a most promising and encouraging note, brethren. When all is said and done, we know that God is with us. And we know, as much as it may seem otherwise, we know that we are not standing alone. John 16 verse 2, 32, pardon me. John 16 verse 32. Listen, the time is coming and has already come that you shall be scattered each to his own and you shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. Statement that Christ made. Well, we can say that same thing. God is with us, so we are not standing alone. When we take a stand, that is when God is with us. Jesus assured us, Hebrews 13 verse 5. Hebrews 13 verse 5. Do not allow the love of money to influence your behavior, but be satisfied with what we have, what you have. For he has said, in no way will I ever leave you. It's a promise he makes. In no way will I ever leave you, nor will I forsake you in any way. Is that enough assurance for us, brethren? Is that enough insurance for us? I would say yes. 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 and 14. 1 Corinthians 16, beginning verse 13. Be watchful, stand fast in the faith, conduct yourselves with courage, be strong in the Lord. Let everything you do be done in love. So brethren, we must not forget that anything that we do in God's name is done through love. So brethren, in closing, as we move on our journey, our conversion process, which we are in, as it continues, we will be continued to be tested, and we all know that. As times get tougher, we will be tested to make choices, and we will be challenged by everything that is going on around us. The time is coming, brethren. It will happen sooner than we may think. The world is moving fast. God's plan is in motion constantly, whether we appreciate that fact or not. Brethren, are we convicted to our beliefs? Are we totally committed to God and His Word? We are in this together, in a group, the churches of God. We are in this together, you and I. We should be totally engrossed in God's Word and God's way of life. This is serious stuff, brethren, and we must be very diligent and steadfast to the learning, to the words that we hear, to following and continuing to learn by prayer and study and meditation. Our actions, our thoughts, our love for God the Father and Jesus Christ should be the basis of everything that we are all about. The world is crashing before our eyes, and many of us will not have to experience the worst yet to come, as God will have placed us, some of the saints of God, in their resting place. But what about the others? But what about those that are still alive? Are we strong in the faith? Are we building on that relationship with God personally, as we should be? Are we growing spiritually? Are we letting the Spirit of God lead us and direct us to know what we stand for? And yes, we must be prepared to stand up for Christ and to stand up for the Word of God. Times are coming. We will be tested. We will be challenged. We will have influences. There's no question about that. Brethren, let us take some time to put on the armor of God, the shield of faith, and absorb this opportunity and continually ask ourselves as things progress in this rotten world that we live in, what do I stand for?